Just like the fallen Lucifer, you and I have a choice about whom and what we worship. If we choose to worship anyone or anything other than God, the one true God, He will most assuredly honor our choice, but we will be counted among the number of those who have turned against Him. Again, if anyone or anything other than God receives first place in our lives, we will end up following in Satan's footsteps toward perdition, toward a devil's hell. Let me ask you, does God hold the position of being first place in your life?
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Today we're going to talk about something that a lot of people don't even like to talk about, and that is, just who is Satan? I mean, what's up with this malevolent creature the Bible calls Satan? Is he, as many scoffers will claim, just some mythical figure, someone with a fertile mind dreamed up long, long ago? The Word of God teaches us that the devil is indeed very real, and that he's determined to deceive us and destroy our lives. Make no mistake about it, dear one, the evil one is a brilliant mastermind who is entrapping human beings, their families, churches, even entire nations, whose end game is to just wreak havoc, sorrow, and pain in this world. Jesus said Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. There was once a creature, an angel named Lucifer. Sin originated with Lucifer. Originally, he was a beautifully exotic and gifted angel of God. The Bible tells us, the devil has been sinning from the beginning. That's 1 John 3, verse 8. Revelation chapter 12 tells us, that ancient serpent called the devil and Satan. You see, Satan's name was Lucifer, and he used to live in heaven. Lucifer is also symbolized by the king of Babylon in Isaiah 15 and as the prince of Tyre in Ezekiel chapter 28. Here's what Isaiah says in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations! Then again in Ezekiel 28, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub that covers, and I set you there. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Then we see this in the New Testament. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Luke 10, verse 18. Again, Ezekiel 28 tells us, talking about Satan, you were on the holy mountain of God. So who was this Lucifer, and how is he described in the Bible? Ezekiel 28, verse 15 says, Lucifer was created. It says, you were created. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Every precious stone was your covering. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. That's Ezekiel 28, verses 12, 13, and 15. Here's what verse 14 says. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God, and you walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Lucifer was created by Almighty God, as were all of the angels. this magnificent creature, Lucifer, was a covering angel or a cherub. One covering angel stands on the left of the throne of God and the other on the right. That's from Psalm 99, verse 1. Lucifer was a highly exalted angel, and he was a leader. His beauty was just breathtaking, even flawless, and his wisdom was vast. His brightness was awe-inspiring. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 indicates that Lucifer was specially created to be an outstanding musician. And some theologians believe the Word of God intimates that Lucifer led the angelic choir. In other words, he was a worship leader. So what changed Lucifer, and what sin did he commit? Ezekiel 28, verse 17 says, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." Isaiah chapter 14 tells us, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." And so pride, discontent, and jealousy metastasized in Lucifer's dark heart as he actually desired to unseat the God of the universe and demand that everyone worship him instead. Many people have asked me over the years, why is worship such a big deal? Well, the answer is that worship is the key factor in the ages-old conflict between God and the Wicked One. Human beings were created by God to be happy, strengthened, fulfilled when we worship him with all of our heart. I mean, not even the angels of heaven, nor dead saints, nor our deceased relatives are to be prayed to or worshipped. We're not allowed to do that. This is strictly forbidden in the Bible. That's Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9. Satan selfishly sought this worship that's due only to God and God alone. Many centuries later, when Satan, tempted Jesus in the wilderness, worship was still Satan's desire and a key test, and we see it in Matthew chapter 4. As we are now in the last of the last days, dear ones, as God calls upon all people to worship him, this so infuriates the devil that he will try to force people to worship himself or be martyred. That day is here. We also find that in Revelation 13, verse 15. I'm telling you, loved one, the truth is that literally every person on the planet worships someone or something. People will worship money, career, prestige, power, pleasure, food, possessions, and the list goes on and on of the things that we worship. However, Almighty God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Exodus 20, verse 3. Just like the fallen Lucifer, you and I have a choice about whom and what we worship. If we choose to worship anyone or anything other than God, the one true God, he will most assuredly honor our choice, but we will be counted among the number of those who have turned against him. Again, if anyone or anything other than God receives first place in our lives, we will end up following in Satan's footsteps toward perdition, toward a devil's hell. Let me ask you, does God hold the position of being first place in your life? Or are you serving the Wicked One? I mean, whether you realize it or not, you're serving someone. You're serving God or the devil. There is no middle ground. Granted, it's a sobering question, but one that you must answer. This may be very well right now your hour of decision. The Bible says literal war broke out in heaven as a consequence of Lucifer's rebellion. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The Bible tells us that the fallen one, Lucifer, deceived one-third of the angels, and he caused a rebellion in heaven. Our God had to cast out Lucifer and the other fallen angels because Lucifer's aim was to usurp God's throne. After his expulsion from heaven, Lucifer was called Satan, which means adversary, and the devil, which means slanderer. The angels who cast in their lot with Satan were called demons. So what is Satan doing right now? I think we can see that in the United States of America, what Satan is up to right now. You see what he's doing with people who are rioting, who have yielded themselves to Satan. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Lots of people are being his hand puppets right now in this nation and around the world. And these people are stealing, killing, and destroying. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.'" That's from Job 2, verse 2. Revelation 12:12 tells us, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down among you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Oh, dear ones, contrary to widespread belief due to just outright ignorance of God's word and improper teaching, Satan's headquarters is planet Earth, not hell. Okay? Earth is his headquarters right now. We find in Genesis that God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. When they sinned, committing high treason against God by bowing the knee to the evil one, they lost dominion to Satan. And it was at that moment when the adversary became the ruler, or the god, little g, god of this world. We see that in John 12, verse 31. Satan despises all of humanity. We who were created in the image and likeness of God, he hates us. Since it is impossible to harm God directly, Satan directs his anger against you and me, against the human race on the earth. He's a hateful murderer whose aim is to destroy you, and thus wanting to hurt God. So when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them dominion over everything on the planet. However, there was one thing the Lord commanded them not to do. He said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Genesis 2, 17. Remember, God created Adam and Eve with his own hands and placed them in a beautifully exotic garden where they could enjoy eating the fruit of every kind of tree except just one. This was the Lord God graciously giving them a fair choice, free will. If they would but trust God, obey, and not eat of the forbidden tree, they would live forever in paradise. However, by choosing to listen to Satan, they chose to run away from the source of life, the source of all life. That's God. And they naturally experienced death. The Bible tells us that the woman was deceived, but the man was not. The man just outright disobeyed. Genesis chapter 3 tells us, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? We see that Satan adopted the form of a serpent, one of the wisest, most exotic and beautiful creatures God had made. And today, some scholars believe that the serpent originally had wings and flew. We find that in Isaiah 14, verse 29, and chapter 30, verse 6. Keep in mind that the serpent did not crawl until God cursed it, in Genesis 3:14. Here, Satan's lies were, "Oh, you won't die," and "eating the fruit will make you wise." So Satan, the father of lies, mixed truth with the lies he told Eve. Lies which include some truth are the most effective deceptions. And this, unfortunately, is prevalent in our world today. It actually was true that they would know evil after sinning. Because of his great love, though, God withheld the knowledge of evil from them, which includes heartache, grief, suffering, pain, and death. But Satan made the knowledge of evil appear, oh, so attractive and so desirable, telling lies to misrepresent God's holy character. Listen, the adversary knows that people will be more likely to turn away from a loving God than, I mean, if they misunderstood or are confused about God and his character. So Satan is a master liar. He is the father of all lies, as Jesus told us. The question is still asked to this very day. Why was eating a piece of fruit such a bad and tragic thing, causing the first couple to be removed from the garden? Why? God's word clearly answers this question. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's from James 4, verse 17. And from 1 John 3, 4, the Bible tells us, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and with a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Genesis 3, verses 22 and 24. Eating the forbidden fruit was a sin because it was an outright rejection of one of God's few requirements. It was open rebellion against God's law and authority. By rejecting God's command, Adam and Eve chose to follow Satan, thereby causing separation between themselves and God. Satan very likely hoped the couple would continue eating from the tree of life after their sin, thus becoming immortal sinners. But God removed them from the garden to prevent this from happening. From the creation until now, Satan's temptations and evil strategies continue to be effective in our world. The wicked one convinced one-third of the angels. He convinced Adam and Eve, and all but eight people in Noah's day. Almost the entire world follows after him instead of Jesus Christ. Many will be forever separated from God and in hell for all eternity because of the devil's lies. The success rate of the adversary is alarmingly high, dear ones. But this is only temporary. Remember, he deceived one-third of heaven's angels. In the days of Noah, all but eight people on earth were deceived. We are told that before Jesus' second coming, Satan will appear to have full control of this planet. His deceptive power will be so great that our only safety will be in resisting him. If you refuse to listen to him, Jesus will protect you from Satan's deceptions. So as I close, I want to ask, what lies ahead? Well, Satan's eternal punishment and that of those who reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is coming. And this eternal punishment is sure. And it will be so at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. Those are Jesus' own words from Matthew 13. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's Revelation 20, verse 10. Here's what Jesus says again. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror, and it shall be no more forever. That's God addressing Satan in Ezekiel 28. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the age, at the culmination of all things. God will deal with the evil one for his sin, for tempting others to sin, and for hurting and destroying the people whom God loves. But the good news is that sin will be eradicated completely, and it will never rise up again. Philippians chapter 2 tells us, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Two monumental events will finally settle the problem of sin, dear ones. The first big event will occur when all beings in heaven and earth, including Satan and his demonic hordes, will bow the knee before God and openly confess that he is truth and he is just. He is fair and righteous. There will be no questions unanswered. And all sinners who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will be lost. Every mouth will be silenced. They will know that they deserve eternal death. Now, the second monumental event, which will take place at the purging of sin from the universe by the permanent incarceration of destruction of all who have chosen their sin over Christ as Savior. Oh, I've got to ask you, won't you open your heart to Jesus Christ today? 1 John 3:8 tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, and through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Oh, loved ones, dear ones, please look up. Look up. For your redemption draws very, very near. Father, I thank you today for this time together with my friends. And I pray, Father God, that you would put it upon hearts and minds, hearts and lives to look at their own lives. Look at their own lives in the mirror, in the mirror of their own soul, and asking your Holy Spirit, Lord, I know I've missed it in this area or that. Please forgive me. Make me more like Jesus. And God will hear that prayer of repentance. And he will forgive. And he will wash away every sin, every iniquity, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross for you and me. Won't you open your heart to Jesus today? Won't you say, Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross, that you bore my sins, my shame, my punishment. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. Wash away all my sins and unrighteousness. I believe you died for me, and that God raised you up on the third day to open the gates of heaven just for me. And I accept you now as my personal Savior and Lord and my friend. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God, dear ones. please do check out my brand new book that you can find at Amazon or on my website at yourplaceofgrace.com. My new book is called Pertaining to Life and Godliness. There's also another book that came out just before that that I've written, and that one is called Deliverance Handbook, Getting Free Jesus Way. That one's starting to sell like crazy because people need to be made free. Lots of people need deliverance these days. So pick up a copy of Pertaining to Life and Godliness and a copy of Deliverance Handbook, Getting Free Jesus Way. And pastors, if you would, please check out my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Check out all the pastors' testimonials of services that we've held in their churches. And please do consider, prayerfully consider, having me to come and to preach and teach the Word of God in your church and community. I promise I'll be a blessing to you and to your church family and community. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and always have a smiling countenance toward you. May He give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriages, families, and homes. And may He grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.